We've been supportive of the attention drawn to the work reserve for federal employees, the whole issue of the balanced federal workforce. Last July, the Office of Management and Budget issued a memorandum, and they called it Balancing the Multi-Sector Workforce. We actually think that's a better title than Work Reserve for Performance by Federal Employees, as in the policy letter. But in both documents, they lay out a set of challenges to the agencies to identify their strategic workforce hires, strategic workforce hires, to identify that work that is, quote, inherently governmental, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, and then to ask agencies to begin to fill the gaps in a strategic way. We support that because it lays out an approach for federal agencies which is not opportunistic, it's not quota-driven, it's not insourcing for the sake of insourcing. So we endorse that philosophy. But this policy letter raises a number of questions in the words, as well as asking a number of questions for public comment. And so we took the opportunity to respond to the 30 questions that the Office of Federal Procurement Policy asked the public for their views on.
And so what are the main concerns that you have with the wording as it stands?
I think they fall into three main categories, Tom. First of all, some of the definitions are still unclear. The term inherently governmental, they do pick a single definition and use examples from existing regulations. That's okay. Then they identify two other categories or two other types of work. They call one closely associated with inherently governmental functions and critical functions. It's unclear to us whether those are two separate categories or is one category with several components. We've recommended that they be one category. So one is in this area of definitions and scope. Secondly, there is no methodology for the agencies to use. They talk about the importance of cost, but they never discuss cost in any further detail. The third broad area is in the approach to the types of work that's covered. Again, the implication of the policy letter is that there is a preference for insourcing simply by the words they use, and we don't think that's their intent, and we hope that they would clarify that so this becomes a workforce strategy document rather than an insourcing document subject to exceptions.
So it sounds like you're concerned about definitions and making sure these are clearly defined parameters and scope and also the ability to measure results.
The ability to measure results. We've actually raised a question whether this should be a procurement policy letter or, more appropriately, a workforce document. Should it come out of another part of OMB, maybe from the director rather than as a procurement policy letter? Because most of the activity addressed in this document has nothing to do with contracting. Contracting is at the end of the process. It's the end of the analysis that agencies should do about the nature of the work, and contracting becomes an implementing technique rather than an end to itself. So we've highlighted that kind of concern.
And what kind of reception do you expect to get? Because, I mean, you know, speaking with Dan Gordon in particular, he sounds reasonable about all this because he's been in this business a long time, doesn't seem to bring preconceived notions, so what are you expecting in terms of reception?
We're expecting, I'd love him to simply adopt all of our recommendations. it'd make it so much easier. Dan is very interested in this. He does have, as you suggested, Tom, a lot of experience in these issues, although he's never been on the operational side. He's doing an extensive amount of listening, both to industry as well as to government officials, the Congress and others who were who have a stake in the outcome here. I'm confident that he'll come up with an enhanced policy that will provide a clear set of guidance to the federal agencies. But these are difficult issues. They have a lot of nuances in every single one, and they affect lots of people. They affect contractors. They affect federal agencies. And so it is not going to be an easy task.
This is a really good example of how these two different groups, I guess, for lack of a better word, really do dovetail when you talk about the difference between a workforce and the issues related to contracting. You have people who are human capital experts. You have people who are contracting experts. Do you have people who are both?
Amy, you don't really have people who are both. And one of the challenges is finding the point at which those two communities can come together. That's why one of the questions that we've asked is this a contracting document or is it a workforce document? And who ought to have the lead on this? It's our view that this is essentially a workforce issue, and the personnel folks ought to have lead, but you can't do it in a disconnected fashion. You can have the best human resources policy, and if you can't execute, if you can't attract the people, you can't retain the people, you can't find the skills you need, you have to look to a higher goal, which is executing the agency's mission. So those all have to come together, and it's not exclusively one community or the other.
We're speaking with Alan Chvotkin of the Professional Services Council, and this all comes amidst a gambit, really, from OMB to try to reduce or at least level off future spending. The 2012 guidance is out. And so how does all this square with that, because hiring could be affected, contracting could be affected, programs could go away. So it seems to introduce a third variable into a very difficult equation.
I don't read it that way, Tom. I see the director's guidance about looking at low-performing programs as very consistent. I mean, you have to start with what is your mission. Before you answer your question about what your current workforce is or your future workforce, before you answer the question of do we continue ongoing contracts or award new contracts, you have to understand what it is you're trying to accomplish. That's where I think the administration is looking and saying, if because of the fiscal concerns that the government has, we have to reduce some programs, even some well-intentioned programs might have to be cut in order to accommodate that. So start with the mission, identify the workforce that you have, and that workforce is a combination of federal employees and contractor resources. This is not a either-or situation. It is what are the resources available to the agency to execute its mission. And then look to see whether you need to contract or hire for those skills.
So it sounds as though the position of PSC is this is an interesting document. It's a good start, but there are definitely some areas that need to be tweaked and cleaned up before there's any finalization, because if this becomes a final policy, there could be a lot of miscommunication and misunderstanding, and you want to get that cleared up first.
Exactly right. You want to make sure that the messages are clear, that the guidance is clear, that the direction to the agencies is clear. This is not the time to be sending mixed messages about mission or workforce.
Why is it that it seems that the contracting workforce right now seems to be in such a state of, I don't know, flux? There seem to be so many changes coming down the pipeline, all targeting the contracting community.
First of all, it's a big target. I mean, the federal government is spending over $550 billion on the purchase of goods and services. There are thousands of contractors performing an enormous range of functions for all federal agencies. There has been some workforce gaps in the government. So some of the technical skills, some of the contracting resources. I mean, how many programs have you done and have we talked about where we've focused on the not only the acquisition workforce but the technical workforce in the federal government? That atrophy over time needs to be created. And so as a result of that, there have been oversight gaps. There have been mistakes made. There have been inconsistent or unclear policies that, in hindsight, don't make a lot of sense or should have never been allowed to occur, but they did. So it's a convenient target. It's a big target, and I think that draws attention. And there's nothing wrong with that. Well, at least from our association and our membership, we welcome constructive oversight. We've been strong proponents for balanced federal policies. Not everybody is entitled to a contract. Not everybody should be, or no one's entitled to a contract, I should say. And not everybody should be awarded a contract. But there has to be some rules of engagement, consistency, predictability in the process. And that's where we've been spending a lot of our time and effort.